40 Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Olympian Thea LaFon from Dominica is our special guest in the studio on this Friday. Thea is getting ready to pack her bags and go to Brazil in a few weeks. Also joining us for what promises to be a real gold medal winning discussion is Sunny Side of Sports reporter Ben Cento. Thea, first off, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you so much for having me. This Voice of America trip and experience has definitely won to be remembered. I love it here.
Well, it's great to have you here, Thea. I know myself and many of our VOA listeners wondering, how do you feel about going to your first Olympics?
How do I feel? I don't think the true emotions have actually had time to settle. I have found out, 48 hours ago? And it still feels very surreal. But the one word that comes to my heart is just pride, because this is a chance for me to represent, you know, my hard work over how many years and represent my country and represent my little city of Silver Spring and just bring pride to this area and this region and to my family.
Thea, I'm wondering, could you tell our VOA listeners a few things about Dominica, starting with its location?
Well, Dominica is a very tiny island in what is called the Lesser Antilles. The majority of the Caribbean is broken up into two sections, the greater and lesser. Lesser containing more smaller islands. Dominica is located between the tiny islands of Martinique and Guadeloupe. The population is about 72,000 people with about 250 square miles. So we are a very, very small island, but very proud, I assure you.
Thea, what about the local population there in Dominica? How have they responded to you going to your first Olympics?
They have been very supportive, and I'm very happy about that because, to say the least, I have been a little nervous since finding out the news that I will be going. But I thank the people of Dominica for being so supportive of me, and I've really just received nothing but positive news. I mean, people all over Facebook have just reached out and really just shared their warmth, their support, and just their love for the sport and for this massive endeavor.
Thea, on a personal level, how does it feel to represent your home country of Dominica?
Once again, just unreal and just unbelievable amounts of pride. I mean, this is just something every athlete dreams of. So for me to actually be beginning this journey is kind of very exciting for me. I'm looking forward to hopefully putting Dominica on the map since it's so tiny. So many people get us mistaken for Dominican Republic, which we are not. We are not. We don't speak Spanish there. It's not our first tongue. We speak English. And so that's what I'm very excited for.
In terms of putting Dominica on the map, I should let our VOA listeners know that Thea actually showed us where Dominica is located on the map. And a great photo, but we'll have to post that on Facebook, Thea, so they can really know where your home country is. At the international level, I know you've been involved in some other international competitions, not just the Olympics. Where have you traveled during your career?
Well, my first competition actually started off in the Caribbean. It was Jamaica, and then ended up going to, I believe it was Barcelona for World Juniors. And then from there, it was unbelievable. Bahamas, Trinidad and Tobago, Tortola, which is in the British Virgin Islands. I've been to Colombia, Medellin. I've been to El Salvador. I have been to, all over Spain, It's literally unbelievable. Central America, South America, and Europe is primarily where I've been. And I'm hoping to further that to soon Africa. It's the one continent I'm very eager to touch. Australia, hopefully in the next couple of years, and Asia soon after.
So is this going to be your first time going to Brazil?
Yes, it is. I've only been in Colombia, in South America. Medellin is a beautiful city, and I very much so enjoyed it. And Brazil will be my first, you know, major trip there. It will be my longest stay in South America, and I'm really excited. I'm brushing up on my Portuguese already.
Brazil has been preparing to host the Olympic Games while facing more than a few problems on the political level, the economic level, and on the health level, especially the Zika virus, still a big concern, especially for female athletes heading to Rio like yourself. Do you have any worries about going to Brazil because of Zika?
I think just being a female and knowing that the side effects and precautions needed to take for this trip, I'll definitely keep my eye out for Zika and for all information. A family friend of ours is actually one of the heads of the Pan American Health Organization, and on finding that I am going to Brazil has definitely given me a few heads up about it. I will be traveling with mosquito repellent, as always. But to be honest, when it comes to an event this grand and it being one of the major pinnacles of my life that I've set for myself, while the virus is very worrying, it's not enough to stop this dream. It really isn't. And so it is just a risk that I have to be willing to take, and my fellow athletes have to be willing to take, to kind of live out one of the largest dreams that any athlete can have.
Okay. So what do you hope to achieve at the Summer Games?
At the Summer Games, I hope to, one, the first goal is to make it to finals. Qualifiers is on the 13th, and finals is on the 14th. And so I hope to be one of those top athletes, I believe it's the top 12, that make it to finals. And also, as a personal goal, I would like to continuously have every jump in the 14-meter range, just because on such a large scale, you don't really have much wiggle room for smaller jumps. You want everything to be big and powerful and have an impact amongst the competition.
Thea, talk about the Olympic qualifying process. How did you get to Rio, and what was your mindset during that qualifying process?
So the qualifying process started about a year ago. I think it's around Worlds, Outdoor Worlds, that they announced that you now have this set time till, well, for every event, there's an ending date. For us, it's July 11th, which is coming up, until you have to qualify for the Olympic Games. Now, there are two ways you can get to the Games. One is by, like, actually jumping and making the qualifying mark. For women's triple jump, it is 14.15 meters. And once you do that, for most countries, you would still have to enter trials. And then from trials, they take top three to the Olympics. The way it worked for me is that our country does not have trials, and my country is very small. So what happened was I am very close to the Olympic standard, and there is a rule that states that every country is allowed at least two athletes, one male and one female, as their unqualified automatic bid. For Dominica, we already had males that qualified, so they'll be going, but they had no female. My country then spoke to the IAAF, and they noted that because I was close and I was the only female truly, you know, capable of performing at that level, that they were going to send me. So it was through the IAAF and my country's Olympic committee this was happening. But other than that, you have that year and just over a year bit to make it, make that qualifying mark. And so you travel around, you find the meets that work, and you put that hard work in to get yourself that mark to go. And then from then on, it's remain healthy. Remain healthy.
So Sunny asked about your mindset going into the qualifiers. What about the moment before your jump? What's your mindset during that? What are you telling yourself?
Have fun. I have to have fun. I think that, especially with this last year, it's so easy to get caught up and worked up about, will I make this? Is this the jump that's going to be it? Is this the one that's going to define my future? And once you start doing that, you kind of lose a piece of the past that you started this as a fun endeavor. You enjoyed this sport at some point. And along the way, it's so easy to lose it just in the realm of competition and financial stability, and just it gets so big and you feel so big that you have to kind of remember that you are just one part of this massive sport. And for that, you have to enjoy what you do. And that's the thing that goes through my head. And hold your phases.
If you're just tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, our special guest is Olympian Thea Lafon from Dominica. She's getting ready to head to Brazil for her very first Olympics. And Thea, I'm looking through your bio. I know you'll be competing in the triple jump in Rio, but you've competed in other events during your athletics career. Tell our VOA listeners about some of those other events and which were your favorite.
Well, I have partaken in multiple events. At the University of Maryland, I actually competed as a multi. So I did the pentathlon. And in those events, that one event contains five events, which are hurdles, high jump, long jump, shot put, if you believe it, and the 800. So I was taught to be explosive and fast and powerful. I did triple jump. So with those basically six different events, I was very versatile at meets. I would compete in at least three events almost every meet, which was unbelievable for my mentality, because I think it really just shaped me as a stronger athlete and really just kind of shaped my world today. I've become, because of all the events, physically stronger to handle high impact events, and triple jump is about as impacting as you get. You slam into the ground twice and launch yourself into a pit. So if you're not physically strong to withhold that kind of pressure, it's gonna hurt.
So Thea, you mentioned you were born in Dominica, but you moved to your hometown of Silver Spring. It's a suburb of Washington, D.C. What is your story on coming to the United States?
Well, I was born April 5th, 1994, on that beautiful little island in the Caribbean, Dominica. And when I was around 5, 6 years old, my father and mother decided to move to the States. Now, we had already had family that had moved before us, and they lived in New Jersey. So we packed up our bags and moved to New Jersey. My father found work selling cars, and my mother began working at a Job Corps. We lived there for 2 years, and then my father got a job working at the USDA down the street. And now my mother is a professor. So because, you know, my dad was working at DC, we decided to move to Maryland. The commute would be shorter, and that's where we've called home. And so far, so good. We've been here for like 12 years. So we very much love it, and that's where, you know, we've made new family friends, and we have grown so much since then.
We're talking with Thea Lafon, Olympian Thea Lafon. Thea getting ready to go to Brazil for her first Olympic Games. And we'll chat some more with Thea. But first, let's take a break for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page on this Friday, you'll see a photo of Olympian Thea LaFond wearing her Dominica jersey, and I think she's doing that triple jump, that grueling triple jump. That impactful triple jump. But Thea, first, let's get back to your family. You talked about them earlier. How have they reacted to you going to the Olympics?
My family has, they are just in shock, I think, the same as much as I was. My family, we are very religious-based. And when I told my mother, she didn't even say congrats. She just started thanking God. And I think it's because we've just gone through so much. I mean, immigrating to the U.S. is never an easy feat, especially when it's you're not familiar with your surroundings, completely different culture. And for her, I think my mother especially was a confirmation that all the hard work, all the sacrifices were paying off for her children. So they were just, they were so happy. We have a massive family. My dad's 1 out of 10. My mom's 1 out of 7. And the calls coming in were just overwhelming. And it was just awesome because it was at that moment I really felt that I had brought honor to my family. And there's no better feeling than that of making especially your mom and your dad proud.
That's really good. How'd you get started in the sport?
On accident. So before I did track, I actually was a classically trained dancer. I did tap, jazz, and ballet. And I started high school, and my mom decided to stop, you know, me from dancing. She pulled me out of my dance classes simply because it was very expensive. Ballet is not cheap. And though I was very good at it, she was like, well, you know, you are very athletic. Let's find another sport for you. So I started volleyball.
Okay.
And that coach kind of realized that I had some ups. And and so once that season was over, there was a co-ed volleyball team, but I wasn't sure I wanted to do that. So I decided that I was probably just going to be like a manager of a team, basketball team at the school. And so I went to the coach and told him what I wanted to do. I told him I'd like to be the manager of your team. And he looked at me and laughed, and he was like, go find a sport to play. You look athletic. I said, okay. Most of my friends had started doing track and field. I really didn't know what it was and what it entailed. I didn't even understand what the field part was. I just knew what a track was. So they talked me into joining, and first day of practice, I jumped in with the distance kids because I thought I would be a pretty good multiple miler. Half a lap into that first workout, the head coach pulls me aside and he goes, not to be, you know, condescending, but I feel like you might be a little faster than you think you are. And he put a couple hurdles in my lane and told me to copy what one of my teammates were doing, older teammate was doing, and he was like, you know, we're going to keep you over hurdles for a while, see if you can do some sprints. And that's how it started. So good peer pressure is what got me into this sport and my mother's want to keep me busy.
If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, we're talking with Olympian Thea LaFond, who's getting ready to go to Brazil for the Rio Games. Thea, take us through your typical training day. You mentioned these workouts. How do you prepare for the women's triple jump in a course of a normal day?
Course of a normal day, I will wake up, as I always say, thank the creator for waking me up. And then I drink 1 glass of water and I knock out 500 crunches before we do anything. I'll go on through my day. I'll eat my first meal is often fruits, maybe with some type of protein. Maybe it's some grilled chicken left over from dinner that night. And then I put on my workout gear and I drive to University of Maryland. Sometimes I'll start with a track workout where I'll have short sprints, bounds, maybe some short pop-ups into the pit, just working on timing and explosiveness. That'll probably take about an hour, hour and a half. From then, I go down the hill to the varsity team house at Maryland where I lift, and I'm there for about 2 hours, most likely squatting, cleans, explosive onto blocks, throwing med balls to walls, and biking, getting some more cardio in. by then it's about 4 hours have passed doing this. Once I'm done with that, I head upstairs where I get treatment. I get my any pains fixed. My heel tends to hurt. Ultrasound on that heel. Get some icing done. I may do a cool down and some light stretching. I go home and I shower and
go back
eat.
To bed.
Eat. Funny thing is, most of the time, I'm not even done for the day. I may go home, get something to eat, shower. But for most of the year, I worked in the afternoon, so it was eat. And head to work. And coach track and field. So I do it, and then I go back ahead and I coach it.
Have you gotten any sort of reaction from the people you coach about your upcoming Olympic trip?
Oh, yes. They have been so supportive. These teenagers are unbelievable, some unbelievable athletes, truly the future of the sport in general. And they have been so happy. I've gotten so many texts, so many calls. Many of the calls I answer is just them screaming on the other side. And they've really become a second family and very warm and welcoming. Even the parents have been kind of supporting and tracking my endeavors throughout the year. And so it's been a beautiful reception.
Thea, you have dual citizenship, United States and Dominica. When did you start competing for Dominica?
I started competing when I was 16 years old. It's because I started taking my weightlifting more seriously. And the weight coach that worked in Kennedy, Chris Paul, he told me, he was like, wait, you have dual citizenship. I was like, yeah. And he was like, why aren't you competing for your country? There are youth events like this. And I was like, I never knew about that. And he being Jamaican, had dual citizenship also and has been competing for his country since he was like 13. So it was through that kind of portal that I was able to access this world of youth athletics. And it was through that everything started. So at 16 years old, he also came with me to my first trip, which was Montego Bay, Jamaica, which was very ironic. And that's where it all kind of started, Carifta Games.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
You mentioned you went to the University of Maryland, which is also just outside of Washington. Could you talk about your collegiate career and how that compares to the international level?
My collegiate career was just amazing. I really have to thank the University of Maryland staff for all that they do. From my teachers to my coaches to my recovery team to my weightlifting team, they were always very supportive. And one of the things that I do appreciate from them that I miss a lot is having a team experience. Once you graduate, you don't necessarily have a team of like 50, 60 members anymore. This year has been very much a more individual journey. And that is one of the biggest differences between the two. My collegiate experience was unbelievable. I tried so many events. I very luckily and on a blessed basis got very far in those individual events. And I definitely feel like I left my name in the history books of the University of Maryland. This 1 year outside the school has been, I can't lie, it has been difficult. I have been traveling a lot more than I did at the university, a lot more out of the country, and the competition has gone harder. But that's just all part of growth and development as a young athlete.
Well, Thea, we wish you nothing but the best of luck as you prepare to go to your first Olympics. Maybe just some quick closing thoughts for our VOA listeners as you get ready to go to Rio.
I just want to say thank you for even the opportunity to be here. It's truly just humbling. I am I started off as a little black female from an island that no one even knows, and now people are willing to bring me in and hear my story, and that is just inspiring. And I hope this touches a few other young females and young athletes in this sport and inspires them to work hard and cultivate their dream, because it does happen.
Olympian Thea LaFon, go to Rio and have a great time.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up the July 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Sunny Side of Sports reporter Ben Cento. Thanks also to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Volarich. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Fulgence Kayeshima, a former police official in the Republic of Rwanda, is wanted for taking part in the Rwandan genocide in the early 1990s. In his capacity as inspector of the judicial police in Kivumu commune, Mr. Kayeshima was one of the main instigators of killings there aimed at committing genocide. In April 1994, he helped organize and took part in an attack by his communal police on a church where refugees fleeing the violence had sought shelter. Some 2,000 people died in the attack. For these and other crimes, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, the ICTR, indicted Mr. Kayeshima on charges of genocide and war crimes and issued a warrant for his arrest. The United States is cooperating with other governments, the United Nations and ICTR, to make it harder for Mr. Kayeshima and others sought for the killing to continue to elude justice. Toward that end, the U.S. has renewed an offer of a reward for up to $5 million for information leading to his arrest. Fulgence Kayeshima fled Rwanda and is believed to be living in the Southern African region. He is believed to be living in one of the countries in Southern Africa and travels a lot within the region. If you or anyone you know has information on his activities and whereabouts, it can be provided with complete confidentiality. You may contact the nearest U.S. embassy, or you can call internationally, 243-81-715-2501, or by email at rewardsforjusticedrc@yahoo.com, or on the internet at www.rewardsforjustice.net/warcrimes. The U.S. guarantees that all reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. In the afterglow of America's Independence Day celebrations, host Shaka Sali and his guests will discuss what independence has meant and means for Africa. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.